Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paranormal Truth Seekers. I'm Ricky, your host for this evening. Welcome back, my returning listeners. If it's your first time tuning in, please click that follow button. Feel free to enter the live chat and talk with us there. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
All right, let's take that good advice and relax. It has been an interesting couple of days here. There's been some weird energies flowing out there. And I'm sure my buddy Josh can attest to that. How's it going, Josh?
Going all right, man. Just here. I'm existing.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely been on a roller coaster of depression and anxiety, man. It's been, I don't know, man. It's been unusual, actually.
Same here. It hit me hard, that's for sure. I mean, I'm coming off of it now, but I don't know what's going on out there.
Yeah, it seems to be hitting, like, almost everybody around me, man. Like, everybody in, like, a dark slum. And I wonder, like, I don't know, I'm not in tune to, super in tune to the energies going around, but I wonder if it's, like, you know, if there's something that affects a crap ton of people at once, you know what I mean? If there's, like, an energetic reason behind that.
There is.
A good question for Mr. Glenn.
Yeah. I mean, if you, like, follow astronomy or astrology, depending on where the planets are at and stuff like that, that can really affect your mood too, supposedly.
That's true. I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot of different science behind that, I mean, if you will. Like, I definitely spent a bunch of time looking into astrology. It's a fascinating subject.
Talk
about it heavily in the Law of One series too, man. They go into like the origination of all that. Yeah, I think, so what were we talking about? Like, it's been a couple weeks in behind here. So this one is the, what was the title that we chose?
The Humankind Influence Since the Beginning by Anunnaki.
Oh, it's manipulated.
Manipulated, right.
Right, yeah, we done messed up the whole title here. Ah, it's all good. No worries, man. It's rolling.
Oh,
yeah, it's definitely the... humankind been manipulated since the beginning. And that's honestly a really great question. And like, there's a lot of material that you can go with this. And that's why I wanted to go down this path. It's been fun looking into different ways to take this conversation and asking different people, like my kids. Well, yeah, cause my kids, I talk to them about this stuff too. And, like trying to get, cause my one child, he goes to church every Sunday with my mom. And, you know, it's cool. I'm absolutely all for it. I've been for it, you know what I mean? But like, he'll come home and he'll start saying things like, you know, we're going to go up to heaven for 7 years and, like, why Jesus fights the Antichrist. And you know, that's cool. I'll sit and listen to him talk because it's fascinating. But, like, I also always wonder because, again, I've read the Bible and I don't know where they get these exact dates and these exact ideas that we're going, like, where is this information coming from?
And that's a good question.
Is like, where does it say that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's something that's always, you know, it's fascinated me a little bit. And you realize that as you watch different videos, different pastors, different preachers, each person has their own spin on the same words. You can have one passage in the Bible be read by 10 people, and 10 different people will give you 10 different meanings. Oh, it means this. And some even subtle meanings can change a whole heck of a lot. And
well, it's interpretation.
religion is going to be the focal point, probably one of the major focal points of, like, all of this, because, like, I think it's the original manipulation, like, 100%. Like, if there was ever a source, you know, like, of mankind's manipulation, it's going to be religion. And
I agree.
There's hundreds and hundreds of examples one can give, you know. Like, I did want to touch, before I dive into that one, like, I kept talking about how, like, lots of people, like, the Christian Bible, like, a lot of people don't understand the origin, like, where it came from. And
yeah.
I figured since I didn't give that information in the last one, that I would start by giving it in this one. this was a fun one to research, too, because there's actually really a lot of conflicting information about this. So I've read multiple sources that it came from Emperor Constantine and the Council of Nicaea, and that was what decided what was going to be the canonized version of the Bible. And then when you look into that, of course, like from these biblical sites, they're like, oh no, that's conspiracy stuff, and that whole meeting was to decide the Holy Trinity issue about God the Father, God the Son, you know, the idea around Jesus. And it's fascinating to me that, so either way you look at that, like, so either they, in that council, they decided the canonized version of the Bible, or they decided what Jesus really was. So these people decided what the Son of God was in this picture. Like, wait a minute.
Yep.
Does that make sense? Like, I don't know.
It's like they created
him. It's fascinating that, like, you look back through history and, like, there was a lot of speculation, a lot of, like, the whole idea between, you know, God, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, God, the Son, God, the Father, the Holy Spirit. And, like, when they talk about go, let us go down, and when they mention us in the Bible, a lot of people say that's, like, the Trinity. Like, but, I mean, I've always thought that that was not correct. Like, it's plural. If you read the Hebrew version, it's Elohim. It's the gods. Like,
yeah.
It was never a singular God.
Well, even the Bible says that. If you read the Bible in Genesis, it clearly says, we created man in our image. It doesn't say my image. That's in the Bible.
Right, and there's, like I was saying, there's two different directions you can go with that. You could say that he's talking about himself as, like, this Trinity, or you could literally go off the Sumerian versions of it, where there's many, many creator gods, like, or really advanced beings from another planet. But, yeah, man, the whole idea of the Council of Nicaea is really fascinating. And it took me down this rabbit hole when I was researching that part too, because again, like, there's this theory that was decided that, you know, the canonized Bible, and then it goes wild, like, oh yeah, no, that's false, this is false, and it's like, which one is the truth here? But it just goes to show that, like, there's people trying to bring the truth out, and then there's people trying to actively fight against truth coming out. Because, you know, why would it be so bad that this person decided what was going to be in the Bible, right? Why would it be bad that a council decided that? Like, honestly, we all know that humans are the ones, according to history, humans are the ones that compiled the Bible. Like, why would it matter that these people decided that? You know, why do they need to fight against that? I don't know.
It is interesting.
But, dude, like, I've been on a mission to read a lot of these books that were taken out, the so-called apocryphary books, and it gives a whole lot more picture, man. I don't know why they wouldn't want people to read these books. Like, it starts to make a whole lot more sense. Like, it honestly takes me back to a place, it's a manipulation. If they are taking out information on purpose, it has to be a manipulation.
Like, yeah.
If someone is deciding, hey, that's not good for you to read, that's, how can that be a good thing? Like, you know, who gets to decide that this is good and then this is heresy? You know, the almighty version of the church, you know, the Pope, you know, he gets to decide that this is evil, this is not. Like, why? What makes him any different than me or you?
Exactly.
Like, that's the thing that I've always had a problem with churches and all that. It's like, we have these people, like, that are able to forgive your sins and whatnot, but, like, who are they really? Like, somebody who went to seminary school and, you know, studies under God, yeah, I get that. You know, that's cool. But, like, I don't know, man. It's not something I've ever been able to accept. Like, am I going to take somebody else's word for it, especially when the corruption goes so deep in that regard.
That's what I like about Buddhism, for example. Their teachings come from their inner selves. Like the meditation, they can receive information, so that's more trustworthy than what we're just being told by people.
Yeah, 100%, man. The ancient Buddhists and, like, Hindu mystics, like, that you know, is like as close to like the law of one stuff as you could possibly get. Mystic Christianity is another one. So if you don't know what mystic Christianity is, I suggest you look that up, because like people who say that magic is evil and stuff like that, like mystical Christians practiced like white magic, like white magic, a very real thing. That's a lot of people don't know that, you know, mystical Christianity would be like, if I was as close to something, it would probably be either, you know, Buddhism, mystic Christianity, or like, you know, hidden Hinduism, like the, like if I was going to define what I believe, but again, I think that like I have the omniist belief or whatever, where, you know, I believe that each, you know, there's a bit of bits and pieces of the truth in all the religions, and it's essentially just a different way of explaining one universal truth, and that everything is God, realistically. But yeah,
when
man,
it comes
like,
to the source,
And I mean, I kind of covered that a little bit now. I've been wanting to talk about that because, again, I've mentioned it a couple times that, like, people don't know the history of it. And even when you do try to look into the history of it, it's super murky, man. It's hard to pin down the exact times and dates that this stuff was compiled. And, again, I always find it fascinating that you have, like, these clay tablets that have a lot of this exact same information that predate the Bible by 2,000 years. It's just, it's a game changer, man. Like, I'm obsessed with this knowledge. And there's too many people that have, like, translated. It's not, a lot of people think it was translated just by Zechariah Sitchin. No, there's been so many people that have corroborated these things and, you know, restudied it, retranslated it, and they're getting the same information. Like, these people left a roadmap for us to find. And they do that on purpose. So once we get to a certain point, we can uncover our past and now evolve to the next level. And because they don't want us to evolve to the next level, they being whoever is controlling the planet, probably still the same people that have been controlling us from the beginning. It's probably still the Anunnaki. Like, again, if you believe that their lifespans were as long as they were, like, they could most certainly still be alive today. It's dang freaking cold, man. I can't get rid of this. Hopefully it's not the cold.
Well, you got lots of smoke in the area too still.
Well, yeah, the rain has come and finally started to wash it all out, thankfully, man. Like, we were choking out here. But this is probably the remnants of that going on in my lungs. Honestly,
probably so.
Aluminum and all that crap for kill us all. But anyways, so I was going to ask, I had a question for you. Like, what are some ways that you think mankind has been manipulated, like, even now, currently, or in the past? Like, what is something you think, like, one thing?
My best answer for that is probably going to be yes. Everything. You got, you know, entertainment, music, movies, social media, money, economics, religion, all of it is part of that manipulation.
I like it. So I actually had written down quite a few things that you just said, and I was going to make sure I touch on a lot of those. Like, music is definitely a solid one to touch on, and like one that most people don't think. I'm going to use something like, you know, rock music has definitely been used in the past, like in there, you know, sex, the idea of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And a lot of people, again, if you study the mind, study, like, you know, read stuff like the, you know, look into the Freud psychology, whatever, Sigmund Freud, and the subconscious mind, you realize that we create our own reality. So if you're listening to something on repeat all the time, in your head, you're essentially drawing that stuff to yourself. So listen to stuff about drugs and sex and rock and roll. You're going to constantly crave that. And then you got these people in these music videos doing exactly these things and thus creating this vicious cycle of drugs and freaking sex and keeping your mind busy on everything, but, you know, doing, you know, the stuff you need to be doing, like healing yourself and elevating your consciousness. So rock music is a solid one. But I think, if I had to be honest, and this is a controversial subject, and I actually just seen a freaking YouTube video on it that somebody was talking about this. There's this black woman talking about how the most damaging thing that's been done to the black community is hip-hop music, like gangster rap. And she goes into heavy detail, like how the, you know, the CIA, it's been, you know, essentially proven that the CIA injected crack into the, you know, the projects to, you know, and causing all this havoc. You've seen what it done. Like, everybody has seen, you know, like the ghetto parts and seen what this kind of stuff has done. And then after that started to fade away, they started, you know, like hip-hop was a thing. Hip-hop used to be very conscious. And once the big money people stepped in, you know, they started changing. You know, they started giving all these people money. Hey, sing about this. Sing about how you're, you know, you're killing these people on the streets and selling drugs. And, like, that's what almost everything is going on in these mainstream artists is, you know, fucking hoes, selling drugs, killing people. And when these kids listen to this, they're going to go out and emulate that stuff because they think it's cool, in all honesty. You know,
well,
they join up with
groups
and the gang.
They think it's just part of normal life. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right, exactly. And, like, it's so mainstream, and, like, this stuff is dark. Like, every song, they're talking about popping Xanax. They're talking about, you know, doing this, you know, fentanyl. They're talking about doing opiates, all, like, all this stuff. And it's, like, this stuff destroys lives. Like, 100%. Yeah. As a former addict, I can attest that this stuff absolutely will destroy you. And most people do not escape. They don't. You know, they stay stuck in that world forever. And eventually it kills them.
Yep.
And this stuff, honestly, man, I've been saying this for a long time, and, like, I've talked to people about it, and people are like, no, it's just reflecting the times. And I'm like, no, I think that the music is being used as a weapon, 100% being used as a weapon. And
what's been proven.
Right, definitely.
I forget where, like, I saw it at, but there's, like, back in the 90s or 80s, whatever, when music was created, it was using a certain frequency. But current music uses a different frequency, which subconsciously makes everything more negative. And that's basically proven.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Just like the mind can attract positive things with positive thoughts, it can also attract negative. And depending on how you feel, you know, the negative often gets, you know, outweighs the good.
It does.
What was I just about to say? The idea, the music is a weapon. What the heck? Man, I lost it.
What?
Oh! All right.
Well, while you're thinking about that, I'm just going to throw out there, like, for example, you got your celebrities. They're basically seen as gods. If you see a celebrity on the street, everybody just runs towards them screaming and just, you know, throwing their energy to them. So basically, celebrities are considered on that level.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, like, you see people on TV, we deify people on TV. And that's stuff we're essentially taught from when we're younger, man. We idolize the people we see. We want to be just like them. And that's the other thing that they're doing, is that they're selling a lifestyle to kids and causing this, you know, causing the poor to essentially go out and buy ridiculously overpriced stuff that's being made by slave workers. Like, absolutely, like, people are enslaved to these brands and spending outrageous amounts of money on dumb stuff that we don't need. And, you know, you know, the sign of money, we're going to buy all these gold chains and go, like, these people are being put where they are. Like, it's so painfully obvious, you know, like, I mean, yes, there are certain rap artists that absolutely do have talent. Don't get me wrong. 100%. Mm-hmm. There's certain stuff that's like, how in the hell did you get put where you are? And I've watched there's, like, a lot of producers that talk about, it's not about how good it is, it's how much money is thrown into it. You can, it's like, they say it's like $500,000 or something like that to get, you know, put on the airways. And then, you know, the more money you spend, the more exposure you're going to get. And that's what it is. Like, so, you know, you got these big business execs. Now they've even created, and have you heard that AI rap thing? Like,
I've heard of
there's
it.
There's this new, there's a music thing that they created, this AI, this robot that's a robot rapper, and there's a big controversy about it. But, like, people don't realize that it's the exact same thing that they're doing by, you know, taking these, you know, rappers out of the ghetto and freaking giving them millions of dollars to, like, inject this crap into the populace, man. And that was the thing I was going to work. So there's another side of that stuff. So a lot of people, you know, it creates, with the music being injected like that, it creates the people acting in a certain way. And then what happens? So the news films all this stuff, and they only film, like, if you notice, like, this is a terrible thing, and I think that the black community is portrayed horribly on TV. They really 100% are portrayed horribly in the news. And so when people get all their information from the TV, in these little small towns all over the world, get all their information from the TV, what do they see all the time? Who do they see, you know, who's filming the crimes and all this stuff? So it creates this absolute vicious cycle, and it pits people against each other, and it's all part of the system, man. The system is so messed up, and it's like,
it definitely
when I
did
that the other day, I'm like, man, I'm so glad that, like, people are seeing it. And it's going to take, like, people like this woman, this young black woman, to come out and say it. Just like this other guy I follow, this other black gentleman I follow on TikTok, who's pointing out all this stuff. Like, it's important for people in their community to be like, hey, look, we are getting manipulated 100%. Just like it's important for everybody to realize that we're being manipulated and stop allowing them to turn us on each other.
Yeah.
And that takes me to the next point of that, politics.
Good one.
Politics is 100%, like, I would say one of the stronger manipulation things going on right now. Like I just, in that song I sent you the other day, like, he was talking about, like, the hatred is so strong right now that, like, if the other side needed air, you'd put a bag over their head. Like, that's literally true. Like, the hatred between the left and the right, or whatever you want to call it, has gotten so bad that it's, like, all you hear about, man. Like, scroll through the comments just to, like, I don't know. I call it doom scrolling. It's actually an addiction, man. It really is. So just so you know, if you're scrolling through comments, look for stuff to get offended, it's because you're addicted to it. It's a trauma thing. And that's something I'm trying to break the habit of. I at least broke the habit of commentating and getting into wars with people, because you ain't changing anybody's mind on Facebook. You're really not.
Oh, shoot, no. You're not.
Some people are really unhappy with themselves, and they're lashing out at the world because of it. That's what it boils down to. Anybody who's lashing out like that, it is what it is.
That is it.
It's like, it's kind of crazy, man. You can't even, any issue that comes up, you'll have, like, oh, he said this, and no, he said it this way. No, but he said it this way. And you'll watch, like, in the break room at work, I have, like, the Fox News on half the day, and I'll have CNN on the half the day, and I get to listen to, you know, essentially the older dudes argue with each other about nonsense. And I'm just like, do you even hear your guys' selves? Do you hear yourself? You sound exactly the same. You they really do, and they have no idea, man. Every time I bring this stuff up, they're like, oh, no, that's BS. I don't sound anything like him. Yes, you certainly do. Like, you sound like my kids arguing in the other room right now.
Yeah. And that's how they want it. They want it. There's always got to be some separation, some difference of opinion, some different view. You got Democrats, you got Republicans, you got left and the right, you got black and white. There's always something separating people into multiple groups.
100%, man. And that's the idea, like the divide and conquer agenda. So, like, that comes back to the whole Tower of Babel incident, and how at one point in time, you know, according to whatever you want to call it, either the Sumerian tablets or the other one, you know, we came together and we were essentially became too big for our bridges. And then God decided to split up our language and be like, no, you guys are not going to be able to communicate with each other anymore. And we have all over the world, we have different freaking ways we talk, different ways we write, you know, different religions, different, like, and it doesn't really make any sense because, I don't know, man. Yes.
I mean, it's
people,
interesting.
I don't know.
We live on a planet with borders that aren't even real. They're literally imaginary lines shown on the map, and that determines where you live, who you are, your culture, and everything. It separates us.
Yeah, and it's wild, man. Like, it's crazy, like, the difference in my thought patterns, because, like, I used to be so close-minded on everything in the world, and like, I don't guess it was a spark, man. I don't know the exact day or when it happened. I just know that I'm not anywhere near the person I was, like, even, like, 5 years ago. Crazy. I used to be a supporter of war. You'd be like, oh, we need to go bomb everybody that talks trash to us. And now I'm like, man, that's sickening to me. Like, the idea of war at all is absolutely sickening to me.
But that's programmed into you. They want us to you know, want wars to fight conflicts. I mean, I'm just as bad as the next person, not in movies, you know, video games, where you're literally playing a soldier going out and killing other people on the other side.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I mean, yeah, I'll be, still be playing the video games a little bit. It's one of the one of my last bad habits to get rid of. I've definitely cut down the time I play by an exponential amount, and I'm doing pretty good about it, but that's another thing that's used. You know, it's really easy to get addicted to, first of all.
Yeah, I've seen it firsthand. Thankfully for me, I've never been... I'm more of a casual gamer. I could go weeks without even turning on my Xbox or whatever, but I've known people who would sit there and marathon for 6 hours nonstop. Like, how the hell do you do that?
Yeah, I used to, man. That's part of, like, the, I guess you could say the ADD or whatever. Like, it was a coping mechanism for when I was younger, so, like, I had a really traumatic childhood, and, like, that was one of the things, like, I'd get lost in games for years, right? I mean, I don't know.
And that's understandable, too.
Yeah, but it's recognizing it, you know, that's part of the process. Like, some people don't recognize that they got, like, oh, it's not an issue at all. Oh, yes.
Yes, right.
That's 13 beers messaging a day is not an issue either.
Yeah, that's definitely not healthy.
I don't drink no beer, but I've been drinking like 7 years anyway. But
I don't like the taste of it anyway, so that makes it easy for me.
Don't like the taste of beer, sir? Oh, my goodness.
I don't. I've tried to like beer just to go out and, you know, drink with buddies. I just don't like beer. Now, mixed drinks are a different story.
Yes.
And maybe that's another one. Alcohol, tobacco, drugs. Yeah. That's all manipulation as well, because they put all these chemicals in that stuff.
You know, I was researching, like, part of the whole politics issue, like, because that was one of the things that I was watching this video on Billy Carson. He was talking about that. Enlil, essentially the god of vengeance in the Bible, he's the one that instilled the political system that we currently have, that we still use today. And
interesting.
You could trace this crap all the way back to the Romans, to the Greeks. Like, it's all very, very similar, like the political statue. And it created, like, you know, like we have different classes. We know that, like, why are politicians even, I mean, politicians are really considered like gods to us. I mean, a lot of people worship these people like gods. Like,
they make our choices. Trump supporters. And we have nothing we can do about it.
Right. Like, Trump supporters worship Trump like God, and freaking, I don't know if anybody actually worships Biden like God, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they worship their politicians like they're deities.
They are, in their eyes. I mean, they make your choices. Right. They're the ones that decide your fate. I mean, taxes go up, taxes go down, whatever. That's all them. We have no say. That's what they want you to think.
I know, but, like, it's crazy that it is that way because, you know, we are technically supposed to be the ones that decide everything. And, like,
we are, yeah.
I think
but we've
we
forgotten that.
Look at it. We look at it like it's a democracy, but it's really not. Like,
it's a tyranny.
I don't think that we have the power that we think we do. At least
we don't.
At least
not individually.
I don't know. I mean, we could.
If we all rose up together, but that won't happen. We're a dictatorship. It's a tyranny.
Yeah, man. And
it's all the illusion.
I think that, you know, more people are trying to realize that, and, you know, realize that we have very little control. Like, the whole, like, I used to argue with people about, like, voting and stuff like that. And, like, I don't vote because I don't believe that it matters. I really don't. Like,
yeah,
that's something my parents would tell me when I was a kid. Like, I don't believe it. I don't believe that it matters. Maybe in the smaller elections, who knows? But, like, I think
whoever they
that
want to get it, it's going to get it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, whoever they want, whoever the really running the show wants it to happen is going to have it happen. And
yep.
I'm not going to touch the idea of, you know, voter fraud and all that crap because, like, that's a hot-button issue.
Yeah, it is.
But I wouldn't put that past anything, man. Like, I don't think anything in this world, anything in our history is exactly the way it's said. You know what I mean? I think that there's a lot of veil that's been pulled over our eyes about everything. You know, with religion, with politics, with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, history in general, man. And So one of the things I'm going to dive into on the differences between, so like the Bible version of the Tower of Babel versus the Sumerian version. And like, I read the Tower of Babel on like in the Bible a bunch of times. I'm like trying to figure out like where a lot of these people are getting their other information, because I read like this biblical site that talked about how, you know, God decided in his infinite wisdom that this wasn't in their best interest to build the tower. I'm like, where does he say that? Where does it say this in the actual text? Because it doesn't.
Right.
So I would read. Let's see. This is like from the. This is like the summary from this website that I take down. So it's like the Tower of Babel story summary. You know what? If you're all right with me reading this, that's what I'm gonna do.
Let's do it.
So up to this point in the Bible, it's talking about, you know, prior to this point, obviously, the whole world spoke the same language, meaning there was one common speech to all people. The people of the earth had become skilled in construction and decided to build a city, Jesus, with a tower that would reach up to the heavens. By building the tower, the inhabitants of the city wanted to make a name for themselves and also prevent the population from being scattered across the earth, as though that had happened before, apparently. Interesting. They said, come, let us build ourselves a titty. God, man. All right. I can't talk anymore. Oh, let's build ourselves a titty. All right. A city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And then Genesis tells us that God came to see the city and the tower they were building. He perceived their intentions, and in his infinite wisdom, this is the summarized version I was talking about, so somebody came up with this. He knew that this stairway to heaven would only lead the people away from God. Why they call it a stairway to heaven, I don't know. But the goal of the people was not to glorify God, but to build a name for themselves. So God told humankind, be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth. So apparently that's what he wanted to do. He wanted them to fill the earth and multiply, and building a tower was not part of the plan. So apparently they could not come together and build a tower because God decided that they shouldn't do that. Why does that matter? Like, in all honesty, why would a creator God be worried that they were building a tower to the heavens?
I mean, even in literally no way, it wouldn't work because it makes no sense. Maybe just the intent behind it, but even if you wanted to, you could not build a staircase to heaven. It's physically in a different reality. So why would he care? And this is just, you know, the principle of it.
It's, you know, that whole controlling game, man. But like when it's, where the heck did that part go? I apparently did not put the actual, okay, so yeah, he says, essentially, seeing it, didn't like it, so he says, now let us go down and there confound their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So let us go down. There's that us part, right? Let us go down. Why was us used? The biblical scholars seem to think this is a reference to the Holy Trinity, like I was saying before. The original Hebrew translation of God has always been Elohim. Elohim is plural, meaning gods. I believe it's always been many gods, honestly. Like,
that's right.
It makes a whole lot more sense out. And, like, the question I was asking here is, again, why would the tower have been so bad? Like, why would building this tower have been bad? Why would God not want humans building a tower to heaven and working together as one people? Like, you know, this is like just reeks of manipulation from the very beginning to me, man.
It's fear tactics. I mean, even apparently back in the Old Testament, they were, you know, cruel to the point of being borderline even themselves. Like when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, and when he came back down and saw those false idols, they literally melted to gold and made these people drink it. That's kind of messed up.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's wild, man. Yeah, my mom used to make me watch that Ten Commandments movie all the time, like when I was younger. I mean, I honestly used to enjoy watching with her. That was something we did. I used to be a heavy believer. I honestly did. And it was just, I can't turn off my question process. That's my problem. Like, I can't blindly accept anything that anybody tells me. I can't.
Same.
It's not
Thank
something
you.
I've ever been able to do.
Nope, never will.
That's just something I can't do. Like you, and like you ask these questions in church, and they'll be like, "Oh, you can't ask that. You just have to take it on faith." And like, take it on faith, take it on faith. No.
God works in mysterious ways. That's the way
God. Hey, come on, man. That sounds like a cop out.
It sounds scripted, yeah. That's basically the way of thinking.
Actually just finished the other book that I've been rereading again. That's a big book too. I'm pretty proud of it. But we got to the end of this is from like the lost book of Enki, which is like Enki was essentially the creator god, you know, the original fashioner of mankind according to the Sumerian tablets. And when you read the Sumerian tablet version of the story, not only is it like more in depth, but it's like, you know, it kind of makes a lot more sense. Like, again, this is something you have to open your mind for and, like, really understand that maybe we don't know as much as we think we know about our own history. And maybe there were a lot more advanced beings way back in the day and maybe still among us today. But essentially, like, Enki's son, which is Marduk, which is the Babylonian god, you know, that's where the Babylon god came from. So he was trying to... a bunch of the earth was being divided up, and he was upset that he wasn't going to be in charge of the earth. Like, he was promised kingship of the earth. So essentially he was mad and went to, you know, go build his own like rocket spaceport. Like, that's what he was going to do. He was going to build, you know, use one of the existing platforms that they had and build, essentially use all the humans and Ajiji, the people from Mars, the Nephilim, or whatever you want to call them. To build a spaceport, and all these humans were working together. So apparently he had asked Enlil, which was the commander of the planet, to give him command of the earth, right? And he didn't accept that because Enlil was an asshole. He's the god of vengeance. He's the ass.
Right.
He did not like anybody. Anyway, so I'm going to read it. It's kind of it's written very differently than we normally read stuff. But when Enlil to Marduk appeal, no heed paid. Marduk in his own fate, his hands grasped to a place that for Anu's arrival, which was like essentially Anu was the king of Nibiru before Unagi was selected was considered. Nabu and the Ajiji, which are the people from Mars. So like the Anunnaki that were on Mars, like Mars became like a way station. So he took the people from there and then the offspring, which were like the offspring of the Gigi. So the Nephilim from Mars were the, like that's where the idea of the biblical story where the gods were co-inhabiting with man, right? Like the angels.
Yeah.
That's where that story comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided they were going to build a sacred city, a place for skyships to establish. When his followers at the place assembled stones to build, they found not. So he taught them how to make bricks, burn them by fire to serve as stone. To them he showed. There with a tower whose heads the heavens can reach, they were building. To thwart the plan, Enlil to the place hurried to placate Marduk with soothing words he tried. To stop Marduk and Nabu in their endeavor, Enlil did not succeed. Back in their home city, their home port in Nibruki is what it's called, Enlil and his sons and grandchildren assembled to what they do considered. Marduk, an unpermitted gateway to heaven, stairway to heaven, called it in the other one, right? Is building
right.
To the earthlings he's entrusting. So he had planned to essentially be a rebel and take the humans into space. That's what he was going to do. And that was absolutely forbidden from the ruler of earth, which is the god of vengeance. So did Enlil to his sons and grandchildren say, if we allow this to happen, no other matter of mankind shall be unreached. So, I mean, there would be, you know, a space-faring civilization. This evil plan must be stopped, all with that agreed. It was nighttime when the Enlilite Anunnaki came. From their skyships, you know, havoc raged upon the raving tower. Fire and brimstone they rained. To the tower and the whole encampment, the complete end they made. To scatter abroad the leader and his followers, Enlil therefore demanded. Henceforth, their counsels to confuse, so they confuse their language, their unity to shatter. Until now, the earthlings had one language and a single tongue they spoke. Henceforth, their language I shall confound, and their speech and writing they will not understand. don't know, man. Mm. That's so I'm not very good at reading out loud, apparently.
Right, you did fine. It just makes me wonder, what was the original language then? Sumerian?
Apparently the original language was, like, I guess it was like the Sumerian language, or a different version of that. So the Sumerians spoke a descendant of this other language. So if you look into the Balkan Danube script, so there's a script that was found, I don't know exactly where it was found, like somewhere, I think it's ancient, like India, but it's called the Balkan Danube script, and it's written in a language that nobody's been able to decipher. And like people theorize that that is the original language spoke because of, you know, the age of this thing is outrageous. You know, it's carbon dated to like 13,000 BC or something like that. I don't know. I just know that it's, according to that, like the oldest known writing found, and they've never been able to decipher it.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, we
couldn't. I don't know, man. I find that too.
We're not allowed to.
Right.
So I guess when he sent everybody their own different ways with new languages, literally everybody had a new language, and the old original one was forgotten.
Yeah, so, I mean, and what they did, so, like, again, this is something in the Bible. The Bible just, when it claims that it's talking about, hey, God just scattered everybody, and he magically, everybody has had different languages. Going into this, they go into quite heavy detail about how essentially they genetically manipulated a lot of these people and were able, because of their knowledge of genetics, were able to change people, you know, at will, apparently. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know exactly. I'm not going to be able to look it up and read it right now, but like it goes into a lot of like heavy detail, and honestly, it's really dense to read. But the fact that they have so much of this detail written in these, you know, tablets from way, way long ago is mind-blowing. Like, how could they have known this kind of stuff unless it's legitimate?
Yeah.
Like, the knowledge that they show of genetics in this stuff is wild, man.
Still makes you wonder, though. How, for example, you know, we're taking a document from, say, 2,000 years ago and reading it as fact, but let's say in the far future, after some apocalyptic event, somebody comes across a book called Lord of the Rings, and they're seeing it as historical fact and not fantasy. You know?
Oh, absolutely, man. There's without a doubt, again, like anything that we're taking in the history is like, it's got to be taken with a grain of salt because we're dealing with outrageous amounts of time, and it's 100% impossible to know the full, for sure truth. That's why it's wrong for the historians to do it the way they've been doing it to us. Like we're taught in schools, like we know exactly who built the pyramids. We know exactly when we don't. We do not know who built the pyramids. We
suspect have a clue.
They were built.
Yeah.
Like we suspect, but then
it's,
you know,
theory.
They take this, we suspect crap, and then they teach it as fact, and that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem I have with history. That's the problem I have with religion is like they teach, you know, this is the absolute truth when we don't know that. Like,
we don't.
That's the thing, man. Like, the pyramids idea is crazy that they shove that down our throats and teach us in school.
Yeah.
Like,
and even gravity is a theory. They don't even know exactly what that is, and they don't know. They suspect that gravity is what keeps us on the ground, but it's a theory. It's not fact.
Right.
But we're taught it
as
fact.
Yeah, like in that David Wilcock book, like he talks about the source field. So like gravity essentially is the source field. Like it's actually, it's more complicated than we realize. And there's so many different actual, you know, verifiable scientific studies that have been done that are not presented to the mainstream. A lot of people call this crap pseudoscience. And that shit drives me nuts because as if the only science that matters comes from our mainstream science sources. Like other people are not allowed to do science. And that's
right.
Because it scares people. Like science is definitely the study of physical phenomena in our world. You know, the stuff that we can measure with our senses. And the fact is there's a lot of stuff that we cannot measure with our senses and a lot of literal proven stuff. Like people able to you know, read minds and travel out of their bodies. That violates all laws of physics. If even one of these people are telling the truth about being able to leave their body and astrally project themselves, it violates all the laws of physics that we know.
And
we have to understand. Right. Like, there's too many stories from so many different sources that just prove it. And, like, honestly, there's legit scientific studies done on not only remote viewing, but, you know, astral projection. You can look into it. You know, the rainbow, there's documentation of the rainbow bodies the monks do. Like, I think the number, I'm going to look that one up later, but there's actually a decent number of, like, different cases of the whole rainbow body phenomenon. I'm like, how do you explain that?
What's interesting, though, is that they say if a Buddhist dies and they become enlightened, that when they get cremated, their ashes are full of, like, stones and diamonds. It's not ash. And there's actual documentation and proof that has happened.
Dude, I believe that. Like, there was this guy I followed, it's like Yogi Bhajan or something like that. I looked into his story, and there was a story about how, like, he went into this super deep trance and apparently died, and, like, he came to a path in the road, and one was towards his family and friends all in this bar, and one was towards this, it was this long, dark road. And he chose neither. He chose to return to his body. And he says that the answer to the question was the long, dark road, because you're freeing yourself from your worldly attachments. That means you're reuniting with the universe. The other one is you're choosing your earthly attachments. I found that fascinating. But this guy was obviously a advanced, like, master person. Like, this is not like a normal person not everybody is going to experience the same.
An ascended master.
Right. Not everybody's going to experience the same death experience. 100%. Like, you know, a Christian person obviously would probably, if they were super close, they would probably meet with Jesus. That's probably who they would see. And, you know, somebody who's, like, Buddhist, maybe they'll see the Buddha when they die. Like, it's going to be somebody that's close to you that's going to be your first, you know.
Because you're drawn to it. Yeah.
Right. And there's tons of different NDEs, like near-death experiences that have been documented, like where people, you know, see all kinds of stuff that they shouldn't know.
That always fascinates me, watching, like, stories being told of, you know, NDOs or near-death experiencers or whatever you want to call them. Just hearing their stories, it always amazes me.
Yeah, man. It's definitely fascinating on that one. The last thing I wanted to mention about religion, man, I know I'm beating this dead horse with religion, but it's important, man. Again, I think it's the root of all, probably the root of all the manipulation going on in our world. And do you know how many wars have been fought in the name of religion in the world? And, I was going to mention the Crusades. So the Crusades is something that's blown my mind. So,
that was Christians.
I guess there was a scholar that said, you know, the death range from that is 1 million to 10 million. So between that number is what people have come to grips with. But there was, like, a scholar that he said that he's got it to 3 million people. He says he's pretty confident in that number, whatever that means. But whether it's a million or 3 million, you know, that's a lot of people to die because you're murdering people for not converting. Like, that's 100% what this was about. And that is insane to me. And even today, there's holy wars and stuff being fought. According to, like, this Encyclopedia of Wars, out of all 1,763 known recorded historical conflicts, 121, or 6.87%, had religion as the primary cause. And the Great Book of Horrible Things gives religion as the primary cause of 11 of the world's 100 deadliest atrocities. That's wild, man.
I've heard this somewhere. It's crazy, but also, like I was going to say here, I forgot where I've heard this from, but you got the whole thou shalt not kill, but somewhere in the Bible, I don't see it for myself, but they say unless you're doing it in the name of God, then it's okay.
look, man, I don't. Yeah, I need to find. I mean, that might be so. Like, I don't know if that's in the Christian Bible or not. That's a solid thing to research. It might be in the I don't know, like the Quran or the. I don't know. There's another one that's said that people say that it's evil about that, but I've never really read or, you know, confirmed that source for myself. But that's something I'll definitely look into. So let's see.
The other thing I wanted to look more into also is the idea of enlightenment, you know, what that actually means. You know, become enlightened.
Right, man. So I think that's, you know, that's a mystical term. Like, either you mystical. So that's the thing you want to study. If you're looking into, like, what versions of religion study, you know, the mystical version, like mystical Hinduism, mystical Christianity, because that's where you're going to get this idea of enlightenment, the idea of ascension. Like, essentially, Jesus 100% laid out the path to take in order to reach that point, in order to reach enlightenment, the ascension point. So, like, 100%, his exact path was laid out, and people miss it. That's it. You know, like, essentially loving others and being willing to up to self-sacrifice yourself for another person, even though,
yeah.
I mean, whatever you want to call it, like, wasn't killed for the sins, who knows. But he essentially could have ran away. He could have stopped preaching his gospel. He could have stopped doing what he was doing, but he chose to keep that path, and then he died for it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, like, being of service to others, like, you know, the monks and the stuff like that talk about the idea of letting go of your earthly attachments. And, again, many people think that means you can't love anybody or anything like that. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean you can't love another person. It means that you have no – they're not yours. You don't own them. You have no control over their –
Yeah,
you know, their,
you're not bound to it.
That's the idea, you know. Let go of anything you are afraid to lose. And, like, they talk about how to balance the different chakras in your body in order to get to this point. It takes a long time in meditation, apparently, to reach enlightenment.
Oh, sure it does.
But
that's why Buddhists have the advantage, because that's all they do is they work on that their entire lifetime. They live in a temple. They're self-sustained. They're taken care of. And all they do is focus on that meditation, chanting, self-reflection. They have all that's all they do all day long. As us, we're so distracted with all this stuff. If I wanted to, I couldn't do that.
Right. We're distracted on purpose, man, to keep us, you know, as cogs in the wheel, keep us making money and driving the economy forward. Like, again, you know, we are the people that are making the money. We, you know, we are the slaves to the system 100%. And, like, that's why, then, you know, the information is being controlled and, like, you're being told that conspiracy theories are just, you know, tinfoil hat nonsense, and yet, you know, again and again, they keep proving to be true. And that's why I always laugh. Like, oh, you're just one of the conspiracy guys. Yeah, you're damn right I am. I'll tell you why, man. I will, die on that hill every day.
Yep, you got to open your mind, and you got to look at things in a different light from what you're taught to look at it. Because you got to have more than one viewpoint.
The last thing I freaking researched besides, like, the idea. So I've been hearing, I watched a couple TikTok videos on the idea that in the Bible, this is a really controversial idea, but that God and the devil will actually reverse. Like, the roles are reversed in the Bible on purpose, and that's, like, the grand manipulation.
I've heard that, too.
Yeah, like, it's a touchy subject. I'm fully aware that that's 100% touchy subject. And, again, you know, if that offends
you. But still, I get it from both views. Like, that's what Luciferians do. That's what they believe.
Right. I don't know, man. Yeah, like, you really look into, like, it's, like, essentially, like, the Satanism and stuff like that is you're worshiping yourself. Like, you put your, I don't know. It's really not as dark. You're not sacrificing goats. Like, you're sacrificing goats in freaking Christianity, man. I'd be sacrificing goats all the time, and there's all sorts of sacrifice stuff in there. Like,
they sacrificed people, too. It wasn't just goats. It was people, too.
Yes. I mean, one dude was willing to sacrifice his son on the altar to appease God. Like, there's some crazy
stuff.
And at the very last
minute, he told him to stop. But he was going to do it, yeah. I mean, that should have been a red flag. Yeah. Or somebody you've never even met.
Yeah, I mean, it just reeks of, like, it reeks of somebody, this is not an all-loving God. It's not, man. This text,
the more I read it, the more it's not, man.
Like, and that's what I want people to see. Like, you can, I believe, again, I believe in God 100%, but it's just a different way. Like, you don't have to give up your beliefs. You just have to know that there's more to the story than you're being told, and maybe this is not the exact story. Like, you're begging and praying when these people are praying, they're begging for something from somebody, and that's not the way to do it. It even gives you the answer, man. It gives you the answer to how to pray. And people are not seeing that. Like, watch a show on, I think, I don't know if it's on Netflix anymore, but there's a show on Netflix called The Secret. And I definitely recommend, if you do not understand how the subconscious mind works, to watch The Secret, and it will blow your mind.
The Secret.
And
check that out.
Yeah, The Secret. So it's the idea of the law of attraction. Essentially, that's the whole thing. But the law of attraction exists, and it's the main source of why people in any religion can get an answer to what they're praying for. It's because it's your mind that's doing it. It's your subconscious, which is connected to the source, right?
Manifestation.
Again, we 100% have, can have more control over our reality if we're not driving around on autopilot like most people are. That's what I considered my younger years. I was driving around on autopilot. And it really is, man. Like, essentially, you're an NPC until you start to wake up. That's the idea of being awake. Like, you are, look at it like that. You're like, I mean, we are creating virtual realities already. Like, that is what it is.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's going to be something for the next show. We're coming up on about 2.5 minutes left. We're definitely going to have to dive deeper into that in our next show. It was a great hour, a quick hour. It flew by fast. Just
Man. It definitely did. Like, I'm glad I got to get on here. It was definitely helping the old depression cycle get out.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad we did it. Again, final words you want to throw out there before we end the show tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, if anybody's like struggling, like mental health and stuff, just know that there's other people in the world that are struggling just like you. It's like a lot of people are going through it. And by all means, man, reach out to somebody, talk to somebody, lean on your friends. Like, some of us are going through the same crap, and it's important, man. And by all means, question the world around you.
Yes, and question everything.
Don't say tits instead of city. Whatever I'm saying, for God's sake.
I mean, that's definitely something I want to talk about
in
the show as well. But things, like, I can't even talk about it anymore. Something's going on with our intelligence. But I'll say that for another show, because we're coming up about a minute and a half here. But I want to go ahead and thank you again, Josh, for being on. It's been a pleasure.
Always, my friend.
And we'll pick up again our next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. I'll see you then.
All right, we have a great night.
You too, buddy.
All right. All right, we'll go ahead and wrap up. That was Josh on our Tuesday show. We're going to continue on Tuesday at the same time. Just keep diving into these different stories and go from there. Also, I've got my shows coming up on the 29th. I'll be putting an ad out with that, but it'll be through the YouTube channel. It'll be live on YouTube, not here on this platform, which I may eventually fade away from. But anyways, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. While you're here, just hit that follow button and show me your support. Have a great rest of your nights. Keep your eyes open and keep exploring the unexplainable.